You get to talk a little bit about stuff.
Steve,
Stiff. A lot of
the
stuff.
controversy and the
No, you get the
another
past.
celebrity death this week.
Really?
Yeah, well, nobody like he's not like he hasn't done anything in years, and he did die at age 75. And he's actually a musician who probably should know who this is.
I probably do, but I'm not. I'm probably blanking on it. So you might as well start with our celebrity death. Hi, guys, everybody. Welcome
Okay.
to the Togcast. Justin's going to start us off with a celebrity death because I'm not.
That seems to be the theme this year. It's just a weird theme that we're going with. For those who recall, he goes by a couple of names here. I think his legal name is, I had it saved on my phone and then my phone reset and I lost it. But he used to be the front man for the New York punk band. And I guess his claim to fame is did a lot of minor roles in acting. The one that I remember him in, he was the taxi driver in Scrooged.
Oh, are you talking about the dude from New York Dolls, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he died a while ago.
No, he passed away this week, age 75. He
Huh.
had stage 4 cancer.
For some
He
reason,
had.
I thought he died like.
That was another guy from the New York Dolls. This was the
Huh.
lead singer. But he went on to
Really?
acting, and he was, if you remember Scrooge with Bill Murray,
Yeah.
yeah, he was the cab driver. He was the, was he Ghost of the Past? Christmas Past? Yeah.
He was
Yeah.
like he was fuck Poindexter, right? Yeah, I swear to God, he died like I thought he died before that. I thought he died before.
He's been sick. So
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
he's had cancer for, they said he had stage 4 cancer. But he's lived with the cancer for like 10 years.
Interesting.
So yeah,
Well,
he passed away. So
geez.
another punk legend.
That's crazy.
So
Well.
I swear to God, if Henry Rollins dies, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Well, yeah, that would kind of suck.
And I apologize to YouTube for not wearing a complete shirt, but it is hot as balls, even with air conditioning. And I am trying to be as comfy as I possibly can in my own home.
All good. You got the Comicsburg crew in the chat already. I got Grant and Marvin. Not that I didn't just spend an entire freaking weekend with them, but which
I
was
was going to
awesome. And
say,
we're going to talk about that here shortly. So,
who Bengayed whose underwear is my question.
well, so okay, so I guess this is a great segue into the trip. So first I'm gonna say thank you again to those guys so much for letting me be the I guess what am I like the sixth wheel now in the the Comicsburg bus
You're the groupie.
and the third driver I guess because they needed an extra guy to drive and I have no problem. I love a road trip. I love a road trip. And I love Heroes Con, so it was good. And I love hanging out with these guys, so it was a blast. And we all have a lot of similar tastes in music, so it was super great to hang out with these guys. We had a blast going down, except for the 2 times it monsooned in Virginia. Grant got to drive through part of it. I got to drive through part of it. Luckily, the tires were just a little more than bald, so in the rental.
Wow.
No one died. It was fine. So we left Thursday afternoon We got down there Thursday night. We stopped for some barbecue on the way down, as you do when you go into North Carolina, right? And so we get to the Airbnb, it's kind of cool. We just kind of unwind. Christina, one of the heroines from Heroinburg, who came with us, she bought a box of wine, and we just kind of all chilled out. DP drove up from Atlanta, which was awesome because I love hanging out with DP. So then it became room roulette. Manny called the couch. Christina got her own room with the single bed. So basically, it became Grant, Marvin, me, and DP. And I said, I'm the one guy out since I'm the tag along. So you guys figure it out. So Marvin and Grant took the single beds, and DP and I had to Big Little Spoon, which we took turns Big Little Spooning. It was fun. It
Oh,
was
I
we
see you
cuddled,
get to take turns with other people,
we
and
cuddled,
we
we
don't
cuddled.
take turns.
That's right. You're just my little spoon all the time. It's great. But it's fine. It was good. It was good. It was good. DP's a gentle cuddler. It's the cowboy hat. I swear. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was great. We had a blast. We get down there in there Friday. We load in. Everything's cool. I immediately just start going out and trying to figure out who I'm gonna get sketches and stuff from. I run into Tim Seeley, and I buy a local man trade. Not only do I just buy the local man trade and have him sign it, but also Brad Simpson, the colorist, was there, so I had him sign it too.
There you go.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was kind of cool. I'm sure I will see Tony Flakes at some point to have him work on it too. And
He always likes to come up here in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
he does.
I'm sure he'll be
Yeah.
around.
Now that we're like a staple on his travel, he'll do that. So I drop off a sketchbook with or a sketch cover with Tim, and I just start kind of walking around and seeing who's there and seeing some vendor friends and artist friends and a lot of friends who I've known a long time, a lot of guys who I just saw at Three Rivers, some guys I hadn't seen in a long time. So that was kind of cool. One of the guys that I saw that I that's never been to Three Rivers, and is one of my favorite artists because he's worked on Nightwing, is Mike Lilly. And I have him, he's doing a night crawler sketch for me. But he wanted to take it home and make it really sexy, and he's going to mail it back to me. Mostly probably because I also bought a page out of Nightwing. This is from issue 96, page 13. And I bought it because, it's got some dick on it, right? So
You love your dick.
I do. I do. I got some dick on this page. It was cool because I pulled that issue out, and I actually showed some of the guys in the Ohio store yesterday, that actual page. I'm like, I own this actual page now. And they're like,
Nice.
what? I'm like, yeah, it's cool.
Nice.
Then I stopped at Jim Calafiore, or Calafiore. And I actually had him do a Nightwing because he's done a lot of Bat Family. And this is the Nightwing that he did for me. I'll get it out of
Yeah,
the
you
glare.
showed.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, but I didn't show these guys.
That's true.
So, and then one of my our favorites, a Three Rivers alum, Daryl Banks. This is the first parallax for my Green Lantern collection. So after this is show's over, I'm putting it in a frame and putting it on the wall. So
I think you should get that colored.
get a what?
Colored.
I don't know, man. I might.
Or at least get like his like fists colored or something,
I
like
might
partial
scan it.
color.
Maybe I'll scan it and then have somebody else color that. like, and have someone color the scan, because I don't want to fuck up the original,
Yeah.
right? So, oh, Grant said, did I see Ted Sikora sold a Todd McFarlane page of Spider-Man for 10K? Yes, I did, sir. It was crazy. I can't believe he did that, but he did it to fund his books, and I thought it was awesome. I thought that was really cool.
Hey,
Someone who I've
it's
always
Todd
wanted to sketch
McFarlane
from,
Spider-Man.
right?
10K's cheap.
Right?
I mean, I've seen some of the, I do follow some of Todd's stuff, like hoping to maybe get a pay. Hit the cheapest I've found is like 5 grand
Right?
for a crap page
Yeah, that doesn't
from
even have
some,
Spider-Man or anything on it,
yeah, and
and
it's like 5 grand
yeah.
for like anything
Oh,
Todd is just.
speaking of Todd, so Mike Lilley also worked on Spawn for a while too, just so you know.
I
So
remember,
yeah,
like,
he was a Spawn guy for a while, he was a Nightwing guy for a while. He did a couple other books. It was a lot. He was kind of, him and Jamal Engle kind of did a lot of the same stuff. They were kind of one of those 90s DC and Image guys that kind of kicked around, that did a lot of stuff. They have a really cool art style that I like. It's like a little bit of a cleaner 90s style, which I like. This is one from someone I've always wanted to sketch from. And man, did he turn this around fast, because it was done like the very next morning and I dropped it off at the very end of the night. But this is from Ron Lim,
Right.
and it's Iron
Oh, that's a
Man.
nice Iron Man too. That's not a
Hell yeah.
quickie. I like
Yeah.
how he added the shadow to give it like a shiny,
Yeah.
the shininess to the
Yeah, yeah,
armor
yeah.
there. That looks nice.
Tim Seeley did this Star Sapphire for me. Tim also wrote Green Lantern for a while. So I thought, of some of the people that would be appropriate to do a Green Lantern sketch at the show, he would be one of them. So this is a Star Sapphire they did, and it's really, really nice in my
It's
opinion.
very sexy.
Yeah. It's also very sexy, which is
Yes.
Tim Seeley style. Then I ran into this group that did they're called Comics for Can or Comics Curing Cancer. So I thought it was a really great charity. I ended up buying this variant, to help them out, and it's this Hulk cover right here that
Yeah, so I saw people showing that off on YouTube. That's
Yeah.
very nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having that in my whole collection. It's pretty sweet.
Well, I will see what I can do about helping you out with that. And then what I did was, I found a bunch of Iron Man issues I needed for my collection.
Nice. Well, you've been looking
So,
for a while to finish up your run there, too.
yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not done with it.
You're
I
getting
did
closer.
I did knock off a couple here, so I'll show you those real quick. So here's issue 10, right? Issue 6. I like this one because it has a Crusher Creel on it, so Absorbing Man. Here is issue 12, which is the first appearance of Madame Mask.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
So that was kind of cool.
You're getting a lot of early
Oh
Iron Man.
yeah.
That's great.
These are all under 20, I think.
Nice,
Yeah.
nice.
Here's number 11, which is a cool
Wow.
Mandarin cover.
Yeah, classic Mandarin there, where he's
Yeah.
wearing the creepy, weird mask. But
Yeah.
you get to see his rings, which
Right.
I kind of wish we had that Mandarin in the movie where at least he had like the rings, you know,
Right.
like actual rings on his finger, not
Right, right.
the weird arm rings that's bothered me.
Here's a 17, which is also
Nice.
cool. Yep. And then number 18, which is kind of cool, because he's like fighting the Mark One armor as well, which I thought was neat. So that was really cool. I got all of those from oh man, why can't I think of their name?
This is why
From
you take this
Tom, it's
card.
from Tom at I believe it's Universal Comics or Comics Universe. They have like six shops. They have one in like Columbus, they have one in Virginia. They have them all over the place. They're really, really nice dudes. Anyway, so yeah, that was pretty much the weekend. And then I made some contacts for the show, which was great. You know, got to hang out with guys, you know, like I said, that I haven't seen in a long time. I caught up with like Jeremy Whitley, who I haven't talked to in a long time. And I think my most ridiculous moment of the weekend when it came to guest moments was, I'm coming out of the bathroom, the men's room, and Ron Frenz is walking into the restroom, and he just goes, "Hey, Mark Schultz is looking for you." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh, no, in a good way, in a good way. He wants to talk to you about coming to Pittsburgh." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." I'm like, "Do you know where his booth is?" He's like, "No, but Pat does." And I'm like, "Okay." So I go over to Pat. I'm like, "Hey, Pat." He's like, "Yeah, Mark Schultz is looking for you." And I'm like, "Yeah, I just saw Ron." And he goes, and I'm like, "So where's his booth?" He's like, "I have no idea." And I'm like, "You guys are useless." So Pat and I actually, oh, I'm like, "Do you have your program?" He's like, "They didn't give you a program." And I'm like, "Jesus." So we get online, we try to find it, we find his booth. So we both walk over there, and he was going to introduce me, but he was talking to somebody else. So I basically just stood there and waited till he was done talking to this other artist. And I didn't want to interrupt, so I just kind of waited till there was a moment and a break in their conversation, and I just had my card in my hand, and I just kind of was like, and he looked at me and he saw me, and he was wearing a pirate's hat, which was even better.
Nice.
So I just, you know, kind of walked up and I said, "Hey, like, I work for Todd. Here's my card. I hear you want to come to Pittsburgh. Just give me a call, shoot me an email, whatever you need to do. Just hit me up." And he was like, Oh, this is great. Thank you. And I was like, "We'd love to have you." So then I go back to the Comicsburg booth, and I'm telling these guys the story. And Jim Rugg comes over and he goes, "Hey, Mark Schultz is looking for you."
As the running joke through the
I'm
whole
just like,
weekend, Mark
oh.
Schultz is looking for you.
This was all on Sunday, so it was pretty fun. I'm just like, "Really, is Mark Schultz looking for me?" I
He
did have it. I
should
did
hit
also have
someone.
a really shitty restaurant experience on Saturday night. I went out to dinner
Ooh.
with Mark Nathan and Shelley and some of his guys from his crew from the Cards Comics Collectible crew from Baltimore, and we went to this Italian place, and it like so in etiquette of restaurants, if you are short-staffed, you should probably tell people that when you seat them, not an hour and a half later when their food finally comes out, when we're all pissed off and hungry.
Hour and a half.
When you finally come out to say, "Oh, your food will be out in a minute. Sorry, we're short-staffed." Yeah, that was not great.
Not cool.
I think that is the first time in my life I've ever left a one-star review, because the manager then was shitty with us about how shitty he was with us. Like, he was shitty with us because we were like, "Hey man, we've literally been here for an hour and a half and you're only telling us this now. Like why are we here? Like, why did we I don't even know why we stayed. Like, we just stayed because it was so, like, we were just so hungry. Like, we were just like, okay." And the reviews, like the it had like a 4.8 star review. So we were like, "Well, it should be good. The food better be awesome." And then the food wasn't even that great.
Oh.
Yeah, so we were like, well, maybe the food will make up for it. Nope, wrong.
No.
So, yeah, it was a little sad.
That's one
So,
of those, and everything did go wrong. Did go wrong,
yeah.
did go wrong.
Yep. It was not great, but I, you know what? I think I would give them a second try. The World Cup was in town, so if they somehow didn't know that, then maybe I will give them the benefit of the doubt that the maybe they didn't know that. But anyway, thanks again to the Comicsburg guys, because we had a blast. Like, we seriously did. It was a lot of fun. And you know, oh, we stopped at this pirate-themed restaurant on the way back that Grant
Yeah.
found, and it was legit. I felt like it was like the kind of restaurant that you would find in like a sitcom, right? Like
Coffee shirt, Jerry
something,
Seinfeld coffee shirt pirate.
right. Like, in fact, I think I even said that. I'm like, I feel like we're in an episode of Seinfeld. Like this is
Shirt.
like where like this is a restaurant you would find. You would watch an episode of Seinfeld and you would see them go to eat at. You
Yeah.
know, like or Friends or something like that would be the
Yeah.
like I'm waiting for like the gag, right?
Yeah.
But the food was really good, I will tell you that.
There you go.
So, but it was great. Thank you again so much, guys. It was a lot of fun. I'm willing to be the chauffeur or at least the co-pilot next time as well. And it was nice to also split the bill too, because then I wasn't like forking out, you know, for everything myself.
Yeah,
So.
maybe that might be my thing next year is I'd like to go to Heroes. That's the only major con I have not been to yet. I've been in New York,
Okay.
I've been to Baltimore. I haven't been to San Diego, but I don't consider San Diego a con anymore.
Well,
It's not really.
that funny you should say that, because I think that's my show next year. I think I'm going. I think I'm finally going next year.
Yeah.
So.
I think Joe wanted me to go, and I'm like, but is it like a con or is it like just TV movie celebrity thing? Because I'm sure it'd be cool to walk around and like
Yeah.
experience it, but I like to go to like when it says Comic Con,
It better have
I
comics. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. And I keep hearing
Yeah.
that San Diego doesn't have like comics there anymore, right?
Well, the person the reason I'm going is one of my friends who has a new book out with Titan Comics asked me if I wanted to work his booth with him next year at the show, because I had never been there, and he was like, oh, do you want to come out and work my booth? That would be great. And I was like, sure. And he's a big metalhead, so he and I would just sit there and talk metal. It'd be great. So very excited about that. So anyway, all right, let's talk some comics. But yeah, that was great show. Can't wait to go again. It was awesome. I love it. So all right, my first book is Hyde Street number 7. So this book is pretty much where the hell's his name? Woo, almost dropped it. Where oh, why can't I think of his name? Pranky, that's it. Pip Pranky Peabody is kind of doing his thing. He wants to trap Oscar, the Frankenstein monster looking guy. So he goes out to the woods to do that, and so he eats a bunch of cereal and he gets all the prize monster guys inside. And he goes out and he sets a trap and he finds this guy who keeps wandering the woods, and the guy, he finally like uses the guy as bait, and he ties him up in a tree. And Oscar comes to save the guy, and when he comes, he like starts shooting at the guy with a shotgun, and he throws the monster prize guys, and they turn into giant monsters and start attacking him, and they have a big fight. And Pranky puts on this werewolf mask that he stole from the guy that made all the toys, that has the X-ray glasses. but he didn't realize it was actually going to turn him into a real werewolf. So he actually turns into a werewolf. Then they realize that the guy that he was actually tried to help actually was a child kidnapper, who was killing kids.
Oh.
So they ended up actually killing the guy. It was a lot of fun. I'm giving this like a 10 out of 12. It was fucking awesome. Jeff Johns just crushes it. So, all right, I need a minute. Take your time with this. I'll be back.
Okay. All right, this is a Legends of the Dark Knight. Now, this is a reprint Halloween special from, I think it's 1995. And I have to look through to see if I actually have the original. I don't think I do, but hey, the reprint, it was pretty fun. It's based on A Christmas Carol, but instead of Christmas, it is centered around Halloween. And you get the gist. I don't think I really have to go into super, super detail. Was it? There's a Halloween party. Bruce and Lucius Fox meet up at a Halloween party, and they have like a chat, like just kind of getting caught up a little bit. While that happens, the Penguin breaks in to spoil the party and to rob people. He grabs a little trinket from Lucius, thinking it's an expensive piece. Bruce pretends to go out, like try to be heroic, and ends up jumping out of the window, like pretending to jump out of the window, quote unquote. And wouldn't you know it, here comes Batman, because we don't know who Batman is. Nope. Well, the party doesn't. And then Batman takes care of the Penguin. The Penguin tries to escape through a rocket pack. Batman does his thing, taking him down. And after that, he goes back to bed, or he goes back to his house, the mansion, and he tries to sleep. And this is where the Christmas Carol-esque theme goes on, where Alfred is like the good warning ghost, and you see this really cool image of Alfred in the chains and everything, which is really cool. I love how they, as I don't remember this the first time around, it's kind of cool seeing it. Then what was it? Poison Ivy is the ghost of Halloween past, which you see Bruce dressed up, little Bruce dressed up as Zorro, and he wanted to go trick-or-treating, but he wants to wait for his dad. Of course, dad being a doctor, he is not available. His mother is trying to go, well, I'll go with you, or we can get your friends to come. We'll get a group of your friends, and then we can all go trick-or-treating as a group. And he's like, well, I want to do this with dad, and I don't have any friends. And that kind of gist of showing of some of Bruce's early life there, and a nice little shout out that he did dress up as Zorro, considering that is the movie he saw when his parents were murdered. So that was kind of cool. We also get teleported to, I guess, was it Paris? And Lucius is being robbed by a bunch of Frenchmen. And then they get beat up by Bruce as he's going through his training, pre-Batman. And this is before Lucius knew who he was. And it again, it was one of those flashbacks. Late the next spirit, they refer to them as spirits and not ghosts. Joker is the present, which basically the kids are it goes to a group of kids trick-or-treating currently, and they are afraid to come up to the mansion, the Wayne Manor, because it's creepy, and they hear all the rumors that, Bruce is a recluse, he's creepy, this, that, and the other. And it's the ongoing about Batman not having friends, Joker not having friends, and Batman's nothing like Joker, but Joker's like, well, the way those kids see it, you're just as scary to them as I am to the rest of society. Which was kind of a cool little moment there. And finally, we get the ghost of Halloween Future, which of course looks like death, like very atypical. And we find out it is Bruce Wayne, like a dead Bruce Wayne, as we see Alfred, a very older Alfred, crying in front of Bruce's tombstone. Now the book ends like the way the Christmas Carol ends, where Bruce kind of learns his lesson, where he meets up with Lucius Fox. They kind of make up and reestablish a friendship. And Bruce ends up actually staying at the mansion and handing out candy to the kids. It is very feel good. Like, it's a feel good Batman, but it's not so much Batman. It's more about Bruce than it is about Batman, which you don't see very much of, especially in the 90s, the late 90s when this was made. So I'll give this a good 12 out of 12. It's just classic Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Love the artwork. I love the fact that they twisted the Christmas Carol into Halloween. It fits the Batman aesthetic. Just if you don't have the original, get the reprint. The reprint's out. The reprint looks beautiful. I think there's a foil cover for this. I did not get the foil cover. I'm just getting the regular cover. So.
Cool. Sorry, trying to work my Iron Man while you're talking.
All
Okay.
good.
All right. Which I found I have a couple duplicates already. Yay. So, oops. All right. My next book is The New History of DC Universe.
I was going to read this as well, but I was like, ah, there were so many good books this time or this week that I was like having a hard time with
There
picking.
were, but there were a couple that I needed to catch up on. So I was like, this is a number one. I'm gonna get this one. So this was actually kind of cool. So Mark Waid and Todd Knock did this, Jerry Ordway, covered by Chris Samnee. So it starts out, and it's basically Barry Allen kind of journaling the existence of the DC universe in a streamlined, extremely broad, like nickel tour, right? So it starts out with, like, in the beginning, there was the source, the infinite source of creation, the cosmic agents, celestial beings called the hands, shaped the entirety of the Big Bang that we know as the dawn of time. Then it talks about how it created the monitor, the anti-monitor, and the world forger. Then it goes on to talk about how it then created the endless with destiny, death, and the dream lord. Then it created, like, basically heaven and hell, and that Lucifer and Michael the Archangel had a big fight there, and then a bunch of demons turned into Eclipso and the Spectre. And then it goes into, like, after that happened, then it became the Guardians of the Universe, and then they created the Green Lantern Corps, and then the the guys who didn't want to be part of the Green Lantern Corps used the Star Heart to become the Dark Stars, and then the Zemarians used the left Oa and made the like they became the Star Sapphires, and then it went on to create the New Genesis and so on and so forth. And it really like some of it got real deep. Like it talked about like Eren. Some of it talked about like how Eclipso sunk Atlantis. Some of it talked about like how Vandal Savage came about. It talked about like the origins of Hawkman and Hawkgirl and how like they worked into play and how Anubia was actually like one of the people who helped create the scarab that was the Blue Beetle scarab. And then it talked about like it went into the King Arthur era and it talked about like Morgan Le Fay and Madame Xanadu and Etrigan, and then it goes into like how then at that point the new gods figured out how to use a boom tube, like, and it just hops around, but it's like consistently it's time in order, but it's how things laid out, like, and then it's like the 1800s and how basically Icon crashed to Earth like Superman, right? But it happened in the 1800s in on a plantation in the American South, versus how Superman didn't happen until like way later, because the book actually ends with Superman landing. So it goes through like both world wars and like the Justice Society, the Justice both Justice Societies, including the one part where it talks about how Queen Hippolyta actually was under the guise of Wonder Woman in the original Justice League, or Justice Society, and it wasn't actually Wonder Woman, it was Queen Hippolyta as Wonder Woman. So, like, Golden Age Wonder Woman is actually her mom as we understand it today. But then they weave in even guys, like, it talks about how, like, Green Lantern fought Red Lantern back then. Like Alan Scott Green Lantern fought the Golden Age Red Lantern, but the Golden Age Red Lantern didn't exist until like 2 years ago. And he's already woven it into this storyline. And then it like he wove in all the kids, like Judy Garrick and stuff like that. Like he did a really good job, but it's like super, super quick how everything is put together. But it's well done and the art is fantastic. Just fantastic. And it usually you get like 4 to 5 things per section. Yeah, 'cause like oh at the last page is decades after the Justice Society vanished, the U.S. government reached out out in desperation to several accomplished scientists and financiers in hopes to create new heroes. Amongst them will be participants where Dr. Niles Calder, William Magus, Professor Martin Stein, and Simon Stagg. This arrangement will retroactively be deemed the Superman Project Phase One. And it will result in a significant, its results would be significant for years to come. If I remember correctly, that is, like that is,
Was gonna say, isn't that part of the Katniss project, like for
yeah,
the animated stuff?
it is, but Niles Calder is Doom Patrol. Like those are all Doom Patrol guys. Like they're all the guys that created the guys that are the Doom Patrol, which is cool. So then
Well,
at
they're trying
that,
to make it easier to understand.
right. And then at the end of this book is Krypton explodes, and it says end book one. But then at the back, it gives you all the reference points of how he put it together. Like, and it references, like, Order of Saint Dumas, an offshoot of the Knights Templar, and one of the richest institutes on Earth, begins carrying out the machinations. Users killed Azrael, who trained in a special discipline called the System, Batman Sword of Azrael number one. So, like, you actually get to see, like, how that plays into the history, and like he basically cites all of his references. Like he cites Jonah Hex, he cites Speed Sanders, like all these characters that you're like, what the hell, really? Like, like Dr. Fate battles Wizard Wu-Tang and meets his future wife, Columbia University student, Inza Kramer, More Fun Comics 5556, All Star Squadron 1981, number 47. Like, and then it's like, it just goes around and around and around. Like, all, like, the last, like, probably 20 pages is just citing, and it's all like two or three sentences a piece with some photos. It's super cool, like, the fact that he actually cited everything. Like, I think it's awesome. And like, he talks about the Manhunters and everything. It's great. So the only thing I wish it had was I wish it just had a little more story to it. Not that I really want story, because it's really not supposed to be that. But I just wanted a little bit more meat to it, so I'm giving it a 10 out of 12. But the art is fantastic. There's a lot to it. I just wanted a little bit more, and it's a lot of golden age stuff, which I love. So that's why I give it such high praise. So I'm really curious at books two and three of how they're going to deal with the silver and modern shit that we got to deal with, and then the last book's basically going to be what we're dealing with now. So I don't know how he's going to deal with that nightmare, but we're going to find out. So, but yeah, I thought it was good. It was real good.
All right, we got Biker Mice from Mars number one. Now, me and John already talked about this before we recorded. Yes, this is a reboot after what, three issues last year, going in the this year, because I think issue three came out earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they were like last summer, 'cause I remember doing them last summer.
Well, I know number one was last summer, but then remember it was like a month in between each book too, so it was going into the fall. So maybe, I don't know. It just ended very, like, I was very excited for the first, like, this reiteration, like this deep dive in the Biker Mice from Mars. This is actually continuing from where the last one left off, where they're fighting against the Plutarians. And I don't know why it's number one. It could be a printing error, or maybe they meant to do this, or I don't know. That might be something, if we ever get a hold of the creators here, or we could ask them that question of why did you reboot after three issues? But it basically is continuing the story from where it ended. They're fighting the Plutarians. It's three against like a whole platoon of them, and they get reinforcements from the other residents of the nearby town. So they take care of these Plutonians pretty quickly. And then they're trying to figure out where they're going to go from here. But then that's where you kind of get the side things of Throttle visiting his mother, who is elderly and has basically Alzheimer's. That's still canon. You have Mondo visiting his dead parents' gravesite and hanging with
And arranged an upright in the sturdy baths.
some ladies. And as all of this is going on, all of a sudden they get there's a violent volcanic eruption in the town where they're at. It's basically the next few panels are the devastation that this volcanic eruption did. Actually destroyed Throttle's bike. He was literally running on foot for a while until Mondo and I forget who the other one's name is. They come and help out. They get as many people survivors out. They go back later and they rescue who they can. And they find out through further investigation with Throttle's lover there, who's part of the army, the official army of the mice, that there was a device there from the Plutarians that started the volcanic reaction. So they basically are doing, they're using natural disasters as part of warfare. I guess they have other devices planted throughout the planet, and their plan is to basically just destroy them through volcanic activity. And that is the end of the book. Well, there's a second, what is that, Robo Force attached to it. So you get about half and half. I didn't really read the Robo Force. It wasn't really my jam, but enjoyed the book. Again, a little weird that it's a number one instead of number four. It's throwing me off. But other than that, I will knock off 1 point just because they're starting over at number one, because I think it's weird. So I'll get it an 11 out of 12 on this. But the art is good. The plot is solid. This is the background that we've always wondered if you were a Biker Mice from Mars fan of the cartoon. This gives you the story before they came to Earth, before all this stuff was gone, before we knew these they even existed on Earth. So I'm here for it. I like the implications to the environment, warfare, and even the personal life of each mice, because they were very shrouded in mystery in the cartoon, and this kind of opens up a lot of questions that a lot of us had as fans. You know, hey, why are they this? Why are they that? You know, so
That is true.
it's by far my favorite cartoon comic book revival, so to speak, out of all the ones, like other than the Gargoyles. The Gargoyles were pretty decent. But this is by far my favorite because it's kind of sticking to what made it fun to begin with. Some of the others, not really as thrilled. So,
Cool. All right. My last book is Green Lantern 24. Surprise, no one.
shock.
Shocker. I'm doing a Green Lantern book. So this book starts out with Hal and Carol grabbing some inmates. Hal makes a joke about how Carol throws a construct car at these guys, and she's like, "Well, I can only do like five constructs." And it's this really funny like interchange where like they talk about how like she's like, "I can only master like five five things, and he's like, wow, when I only started, I can only do two. So like there's a running joke through the book about how she can like she's just gonna throw cars at people. And then the Kyle Cal or Kyle Cal? Is it Cal? Cat or Kyle Superboy, White Scarab, and I can never remember her name, Odyssey, end up going to this weird Owen space station, for lack of a better term, that they never knew existed. Then it flips back to Kyle and or Helen and Carol. When they bring the prisoners back, they realize everybody at this prison's really happy. They don't know what the hell's going on. So they eventually look into it, and they find in the basement that some this guy is he's got a iguana thing that was blasted by this laser, and now everybody's really happy, so it's part of that fractured the fractured thing that they were dealing with. And with that, it just made everybody happy. Then it cuts back to the guys on the Owen thing. There's this giant green canister that Kyle's like, I don't know what the hell this is, but it's making my energy go nuts. And then Manhunters show up. So it's awesome. They cut back to Hal and Carol, and she's like, oh, this guy's so cute. They try to take the guy away from him, or Hal tries to take the lizard away, and when Hal touches it, all of a sudden they all start going, no, he's mine, he's mine, 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 and like all that love turns into hate and greed, so they all turn into orange lanterns and they have this big fight until Carol touches the guy. And then all of a sudden they all turn back to normal, and it kind of breaks their emotional spectrum fracture. And she's like, I don't know what the hell happened, but we figured it out. So then it goes back to the guys in space. They're fighting a whole bunch of Manhunters, breaking them all apart, which is pretty sweet. And then you find the energy gets cracked, and the energy floats to the it kind of like breaks apart all the Manhunters. Floats to their ship, and then all of a sudden, it starts talking to Kyle, and it starts building something, and it starts putting some stuff together, and he just goes, "No way," and it rebuilds Ava or Aya, and that she is she's a Green Lantern, but she's a Manhunter Green Lantern, but she's like super sleek looking, and it's actually kind of neat the way it was done. The only thing I didn't like about this book was like the flip-flop I felt a little too jarry, in the way it was written. But other than that, I loved it. I love the art. I love everything about this book. It's just been so good. So I'm giving it a 8 out of 12 because of just that writing. This was the first time that felt just a little bit jarry. But I thought the ending surprise was very good. So I dug it. Good job.
All right, you got Wolverine and Kitty Pryde number three. The last time we left off here, Trask's say daughter or niece came out with these new specialized sentinels and tracked down Wolverine and Kitty Pryde. And they started fighting. Well, everybody was fighting. And we also find out that Kitty's dad knows Wolverine on like for a very long time, to the point where he even makes the remark during the book where he calls Wolverine old man, even though he looks older than Wolverine does.
Right.
And we find out that like he Kitty Pryde's dad can actually fight because he actually joined in on the battle here. So they're taking out Sentinels while Kitty is battling Trask. Kitty's father takes one of the Eastern spears and jams it right in the Trask's armor, and actually breaks the faceplate and everything, and actually does some damage. She loses it, like kind of just berserker rages and just starts firing off her lasers. Pretty much like just grazing, I want to say, Mimiko. Wolverine is still fighting the Sentinels, but what's end up happening is the Sentinels seem to be combining and kind of absorbing Wolverine to a degree. And that's where Kitty comes in and like knocks out Trask and grabs Wolverine, gets him out of there. And they end up going back through the portal to the past where everybody, they're all speaking Japanese and they're all dressed in like classic Eastern armor and everything. And through the portal, they could see Trask, and she's just standing there, not doing anything. And Kitty's like, "Well, I'm gonna go see what's going on here because this is weird." She goes, and you could see Trask's eyes kind of glazed over, and you're seeing a bunch of like 1-1, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0s like through her eyes. And it's not from the helmet, it's actually literally her eyes. And you see this lightning, electricity kind of hitting Trask and Kitty at the same time, and actually kind of pulling both, like kind of a piece of each one into one entity. And it kind of looks like a ghost mixed with a phalanx.
Ooh,
It's kind of cool looking.
phalanx.
Yeah, because it's kind of what it looks like. And the entity is like, finally, I am reborn. So this might be Ugin. We don't know. So I'm looking forward to this. This has been like one of those really cool limited series with Wolverine in it that I'm really enjoying because obviously this is a Claremont written book. And I love that first series with Wolverine and Kitty Pryde, but the art is cool. I like where this is going, and I'm kind of interested to see what happens next. So I'm going to give this a 12 out of 12 for this book. So
Damn, high praise.
yeah, well,
Very.
considering most of the Wolverine books have been kind of garbagey, it's nice to get a good one.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, that's pretty cool. All right. I think that's it, right? Yeah, okay, cool. So I have found that I have five duplicate Iron Mans. I have an extra two sixes, a 60, and a 69. So I
Nice.
guess I'm gonna trade those in. Or I'll take them to a show and trade them somewhere, but we'll see. Anyway. So, I also want to, before I forget, because I meant to do this earlier, I want to give a shout out to Rongamus and his wife. Happy wedding anniversary. I think they're doing their 25th anniversary this year, or 20th. I forget what it was. Some huge milestone one. I saw it on Instagram. They're doing this cool, like, I think it's 25. Anyway. Congratulations, guys. Ron's been a great customer for years. You know, he's helped out with a lot of stuff. He's actually been on the show. couple times, as just a guest to hang out. So, but congratulations, guys. That's awesome. So, all right. Oh, okay. Now it's spoiler time. So if anyone wants to get the hell off, I'm going to talk about the first three episodes of Ironheart real quick. So if you don't care, stay on. If you give a shit, get out. Get out. Considering I don't think there's anybody watching right now, I think we're good. So, I'll be honest, I went into this going, I don't really care about Ironheart. Like, I don't really care about the character just because I'm not invested in a character that is that young in the comics. But I was interested in how they were going to portray the Hood because I do like that villain a lot. And I will tell you, they did not disappoint. So the first episode is a little slow, but it does set up a lot. The second episode is also a lot of setup because it brings in Ezekiel Stane, but they don't tell you that he's Ezekiel Stane until the third episode. So then you find out that the guy who played Han Solo in the Solo movie is Ezekiel Stane, son of Obadiah Stane, Ironmonger. So you see where that's going.
Very good.
But the way they did the Hood in this show, the way they did Parker Robbins was so well done, I thought, that it almost overshadows Ironheart, like almost overshadows Riri at parts, because he's so well done and sinister, but yet is so relaxed and kind of in the background. But when you get to that third episode, it is very climactic. And they're doing it in six episodes. They're doing it in 2 3-part arcs. And man, is it's super good. Like, it just took a minute to move. Like, I was like, it's like, okay, like the first episode I was like, it's a little slow. All right, okay. But by the end of the second episode, it's like, all right, I'm going, we're going. And then by the end of the third episode, I'm like, fuck, I want to see the other three episodes now. But it is very cool the way they worked it out. Like, they kind of skip over in the comics, like how her AI originally in the comics was Tony Stark. They skip over that. I think it's cool that they do like the whole she gets kicked out of MIT. I think it's cool that they kind of do the like she has to kind of like fund building this suit type thing. And like the only thing that was kind of interesting was so the way she ends up trying to fund the suit is she ends up joining the Hood's gang by accident. But the other reason they call him the Hood, it's not just because he wears the hood. It's because he's kind of a Robin Hood type character, right? Because like he's stealing from the rich type thing. So the only thing that was weird, and I'm a little bit like maybe they'll address it, but they still have three episodes, who knows? Is so she just did this internship in Wakanda, but yet nothing, none of the Wakandans check in on her. None of the Wakandans say hi, like they didn't make appearances, nothing. The only bit of Wakandan technology is her necklace, where she can control the suit from her necklace. Yeah. But overall, I'm really enjoying it. I really am. Like, I didn't think I would because I never cared about the character because, like I said, I was like, okay, teenage girl, don't care.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. So.
I've heard a lot of smack on it, like, shocker, it seems to be par for the course of
What young girl who's not white? What?
I don't know how many less than I could count how much better non-racist stuff that was said on my hand. There was a lot of racist stuff that I saw that I was disgusted with.
Yeah.
But
I don't doubt that at all.
that seems to be on par for this day and age, unfortunately. I've heard that it's definitely better than Secret Invasion, which, dude, I could be drunk and film something on my phone that's probably better than Secret Invasion. Okay, that's how
So
badly Secret Invasion was
if
in
they
general.
In my opinion, if they wouldn't have called it Secret Invasion, and the only real bad parts of Secret Invasion are the first episode and the last episode, the middle parts are actually pretty good. Like the meat in the middle is actually very good. It's just the bookends were super boring and slow. I was like,
I think if they actually made the legit Secret Invasion, like if they actually made the movie and out of a movie, it would have been better. The you tried to jam something that's movie sized into a TV series and it just didn't work.
well, they could have done it right, but they didn't have the right. First off, you didn't have all the right parts, right? You didn't have all the right Avengers to do it. Like, you didn't have Spider-Woman. You didn't have.
Didn't have Cap, you didn't have Iron Man, you didn't have any of that.
Yeah, but you didn't. Well, I'm just saying, like, first off, you need Jessica Drew. She's like a key part to that whole story, right? Then, like you need to actually have that story. You need Norman Osborn. Like, you can't, like, that the those are
Which,
the two things you need to make that story work, in my
yeah.
opinion.
And the problem with that is because Norman Osborn's part of Spider-Man and Sony owns that.
Right.
So that makes it a completely pain in the butt to deal with. So I understand that point. It is, I think this year is Marvel trying to make up for things because of COVID and because of all the less than successful movies and TV series that have come since Endgame.
Well, I think they're just trying to get stuff out that they've had in the hopper. Like, I think they're just trying to get it out. Like, they're just like, we don't want it to just sit there.
Like, to be fair, I thought Thunderbolts was solid. It's
I did too. I really liked it.
honestly, it was better than Black Widow. It was better than a
Yes.
lot of these, like a lot of the stuff that they put out post Endgame. Thunderbolts was by far better. Storyline wise, like you got an in-depth, a little bit of everybody. And Bob was fun.
I loved
It's
Bob.
love Bob.
I don't know why people shat on Bob.
Yeah. Leave Bob alone.
I think they only I think people I think the people that shit on Bob were the people that saw themselves in Bob and were.
Well, and apparently they don't know, again, another Marvel character that unless you are a fan of or you've actually read like things that have the century in it, you're clueless. Just like She-Hulk, where people are like, oh, that's not the way She-Hulk is. No, this is exactly the way She-Hulk was. You just didn't read the source material and you're just going by what you're watching. So it's, again, I've heard, like I said, I have yet even to see the new Cap movie, but I saw Thunderbolts. So
Well, the new Cat movie, like I said, I felt it was It was very like it felt like a really long episode of the show, just because like it pretty much continued that story, right? Like and it didn't really move the bigger story along, except okay, he's now fully Cap, and Falcon is the new Falcon's Falcon, and hey, there's a Red Hulk. That's really
And we got the leader.
and the leader's back.
The leader. We
Yeah.
got a new bad guy.
Yeah, that's really it. Like that was really the whole that was really it. Like that was the whole movie. There really wasn't a lot.
The movie that we did get to see here, we finally got the final trailer of Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that
And
looks really good.
Holy Galactus,
Yeah.
the Galactus we deserve.
Yeah.
And it goes right along there. If you haven't seen the popcorn buckets for this movie, holy cripes. We got the head of Galactus, which looks real badass.
Did you see the Mr. Fantastic one?
I did not see the Mr. Fan. I saw the Herbie one. The Herbie one was kind of
You need
cool.
to see the Mr. Fantastic one because if you look at it at the right angle, it looks hilarious.
Oh,
Oh yeah. Oh, it's pretty funny.
and
Oh
I
yeah.
saw, what was it, the Fantastikar? They have
Yeah.
the Fantastikar as a bucket too, which looked pretty cool.
Right.
But I would, if I was lucky enough to go, and Rachel actually wants to see this because she was telling me about it. She's like, we haven't gone to see a movie in a while. I was like, yeah, it's like, yeah, the movies haven't been that great to see lately, to be honest. But
Right.
we might go see this together on a, and if lucky enough there is a popcorn bucket, I will put out the money for the Galactus head. Because that just looks, it looks cool because his eyes glow too. And it's like,
Yeah.
oh, I was like, I'm down with
Yeah.
it.
Weirdly,
And
I think I'd like the Herbie one the most.
that's the one that kind of looks cool because it looks like the old Nintendo robot. That's kind of
Yeah.
what it looks like to me, the old Nintendo
I
robot
think it
from
looks like Johnny Five to me.
a...
So.
Well, remember, all the 80s, 90s robots all had that similar
Oh
aesthetic.
yeah.
So they all kind of had that weird flat head. Their arms are like this.
Right.
You know, so they hold the tray or they hold the drink or whatever
Johnny
they
Five
hold on.
alive. Right. Johnny Five alive.
I'm actually surprised that has not gotten a reboot yet.
It's next, you wait.
Oh no, they're not allowed. They better leave that alone. That was I will lose my mind. I will be on the forums losing my shit on Reddit.
What?
Leave that alone. That was
That's
perfect as is.
the one movie that you're finally gonna lose your mind over.
Yeah, you leave him alone.
You leave Short Circuit
Leave Short
alone,
Circuit alone.
right?
I want him leaking oil, and I want him with his mohawk. If you don't have those, screw off.
And I want a ton of toy versions of him dancing.
Yes,
But
exactly.
that didn't happen till the second movie, so we got to get through the first movie first. But think about how accurate that movie is now, though. Because like with all the drones that we have, like that movie actually kind of happened. Like, you know?
It's the comedy version of Terminator and
It is.
AI.
It really is.
It's been
I
Russia.
You know, for all the shit that's going on in the world right now, I want Short Circuit to happen, not Terminator. Like,
Oh God. Can you imagine him talking to like Donald Trump?
can you
The
imagine him fucking with,
obscenities
can you
and
imagine
the
him fucking with Hegseth? Oh my God. Like, that would just be hilarious.
he'd be like, have another bottle, Pete. Have another
Right?
bottle, Pete.
Right? Like it's like his like laser would open up and it would just be like a fifth of vodka. Like, come on, come on. Like there would just be like a spout would pour out of him. Come on. It'd be
That might be the
hilarious.
popcorn bucket. Is
Oh
that the
God.
popcorn bucket?
That'd be hilarious.
His laser is like a pump for popcorn butter.
Oh
Just
God.
squeeze it, it shoots out.
That'd be really
There you
funny.
go. I'm
Oh.
putting in trademark for that, and I better get royalties for that.
Well, Jesus. All right. Well, that's all we got for tonight, guys. We will catch you later. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for watching. If you shop at a store, awesome. Make sure you keep everybody employed. If you happen to shop at our store, cool. Make sure you stop out at the stores this weekend. We have our anniversary sale going on. And then we also have the warehouse sale with the Geek Flea Market going on too. And then, we just have just stuff going on next month. Be safe, be happy. We will catch you guys next month. Catch you later.
Later.
When I'm making the ball, but I want